Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number three. Hour number three. If you missed any parts of our first 2 hours, Rick Manning and I had a really intense conversation to give you a real background of what has to happen in D.C. in order to unwind the deep state. The 7,500 permanent people. Why simply term limits alone are not going to fix the problem, because the same people will be in the offices giving the policies. And we really broke all of that down and what's got to happen. So great conversation with him. Emery McClendon and I just finished a conversation, and I read a soldier's story, and it's a true story, 2014. About an American soldier raped by Iraqis in the shower and then sent home and told that if he tells anybody, he's the one that's going to be in trouble. This is what a woke military will accomplish. This is what happens to a woke military. And then we also had a conversation with Dr. David Wormser about Israel, but really about the Islamic problem that exists today. And there's a huge problem. Nigeria is moving to become an Islamic Republic. Iran obviously is a nuclear power now, and nobody wants to talk about the fact that they are a nuclear power. And Erdogan in Turkey is turning Turkey into an Islamic Republic. Some would argue that it already has been, but they are using Erdogan as a means to genocide the Armenians once again, but to literally take over Syria. And that's incredibly dangerous. So all of that in the first 2 hours. And now we're going to talk about why we're not allowed to talk about that with my next guest. In fact, I want to welcome to the program, Jason Shepherd is with us today. Jason, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's, you know, here we are again, you know, dealing with this issue of you know, our ability to speak being quashed. And, you know, I mentioned this when I was talking about what we were going to talk about in the very first hour. I said, you know, it's interesting. And I, you know, however people feel, but Ken Paxton's the one who really ramrodded this social media issue on behalf of Texas. He's the one who stood up and fought this fight. And I think it's interesting that the Uniparty has decided to take Ken Paxton out, right? So the White House can come in behind it and quash this effort to stop these social media giants from quashing free speech.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because we had the Judge Dowdy case out of Missouri, and now we have, you know, that kind of went away while we're waiting on an appeal on that aspect. But then you have them, the Biden administration, now trying to fight the Florida and the Texas law that we're talking about right now, about basically saying that they need to run our free speech at this point in time still, because I guess we're a threat to national security is the way I read it.
Well, that's what they want to. I mean, look, they want to refer to us as domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their label for us. Their label for us is to suggest that, oh, hey, you guys are domestic terrorists, and we've redefined that term, and you know, oh, and by the way, your kids belong to us.
Right. Yeah. I mean. I think most individuals that are, well, I don't want to say most, but at least more now than ever in my mind, are starting to see how these things are kind of piecemealed together and how they relate with each other. Because, yeah, I mean, when you're starting to take away social media free speech, and then I believe you're getting into the fact that they're trying to pretty much run children's education, taking away parents' rights on school boards, pretty much taking away school boards. I mean, it's big government at its worst at this point.
Well, you know, when you have and one of the, you know, viral videos that went out there was the mom who's reading out of a book, and she begins by prefacing it and saying, now, my daughter was required to act this out in front of her class, her daughter being 10 years old. And she begins to talk about the sexual sucking that her daughter is required to act out in front of the class. It's written in the book that is the book that they were given by the teacher, and this was her assignment. And the school board member interrupts her and says, "Ma'am, let's not forget this is a public meeting." Well, where do you think my kid was being forced to do this? And right. And I'll tell you what I said last week, and I stand by it. They have declared war on our children. Sure. Patriots should be at those meetings providing physical security and defense for parents to be able to stand up and make those statements. And if anyone tries to remove the parent, that's an act of war.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree with you at all. And, you know, I have plenty of friends that are in law enforcement because we're very back to blue. But, you know, you would think that I don't think most police forces are woke, so to speak, to be quite honest with you. I mean, most are military and, you know, they're freedom fighters. They stand up for what's right in America. I mean, of course, you have a few bad apples. There's no doubt about that. But you would think that these school boards would, and obviously, because, I mean, police officers have parents and you know, council members have, children and their parents. And, you know, you would think that they'd be able to actually kind of get some structure, so to speak, and get some, you know, actual organization together to actually have that protection at these school board meetings. Because, you know, I'm a little ignorant to that. I did read something based on what you were just talking about the act of, I don't even want to bring it up, but the act of that 10-year-old having to do that. And, you know, if a public meeting and officials there are aghast by that act, I mean, you hit it perfectly. Where do you think my daughter had to do this? Where, you know, this was a public area. Yeah, maybe it was around students, but you don't know what officials were in there. There was obviously one teacher. So
it's in front of the class. That's public. Yeah. It's in front of her whole class. Can you imagine her going up there with a boy from the class and performing oral sex in front of the class?
It blows my mind. And, you know, it's incredible how close California is to allowing this with their mass, their minor attractive people and things of that nature. It really, I mean, to me, Pastor, it's 100% evil. I mean, this is what this is at this point in time. And,
you know,
I think it's spiritual warfare as well when you say it's an act of war, but it's certainly spiritual warfare as well.
Well, there's absolutely no question. There is no question. But we're talking about assault on children. And my challenge then was to suggest to the sheriff of those counties, you should be in there not harassing the parent, but arresting the school board members who have put a stamp of approval on what should clearly be child abuse. Clearly be child abuse. You can't unwind those images from an 8, 9, and 10-year-old. You cannot unwind those images.
No, you can't. I mean, I can't even unwind them right now, to be quite honest with you. But, and I don't know of any state, maybe outside of California, where, you know, that's not a crime. There's got to be a statute that is some type of a crime somewhere written in their, you know, their state code. But
let me tell you how screwed up this is. Okay, so in the state of Texas, just as an example, if you or I were to present that book to one of these students on the sidewalk in front of the school, we'd be arrested.
But inside the school.
But inside the school, as an educational prop, it's perfectly acceptable. In the library, and I'll have you know that there were bills presented to protect it within the legislature.
I mean, I don't know how we got here, Pastor. I mean, this is, you know, every time we do an interview, obviously you find great material to discuss, but it's something that, you know, I have a 3 and 6-year-old right now, and it scares us to death. I mean, and we are people of action. We're not just going to sit back and let it happen. And, you know, I almost got arrested because these aren't even my children by blood. But on our six-year-old's first day of kindergarten, he was, well, actually, he was five then. He was asked how he identified. I mean, what are they pushing at that age? And I went to the school, and of course, I have no real parental rights because I'm not their, you know, their biological father. So they're like, we can't discuss anything. And if you don't leave right now, you're going to get arrested. I'm like, well, do I get arrested at this point? Because, you know, I mean, I think people need to realize these things and hear about them in a manner where, you know, you are getting threatened with the law when they're actually, in my mind, breaking the law.
Well, but more importantly, I don't care whether you're the biological parent or you're not the biological parent. Okay, you are an adult, mm-hmm. and under his rules, under his law, we have a responsibility to protect the children.
Yes, we do.
As a community, we have a responsibility to protect the children. And so, you know, I mean, I know here in the Hill Country, we have a lot of folks that are going to these school board meetings that have demanded that these books be removed from the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know. You know, people talk about what's going to be the breaking point, right? You know, at what point are we going to say, okay, it's on, it's Civil War time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It, you know, is the innocence of our children? And unfortunately, and you're a younger generation than I am. I know I'm an old guy, but here's the thing. Okay, most people in your generation, I think a lot of them are beginning to wake up, but they've been indoctrinated to believe that, you know, these things are okay. Everybody should just be allowed to, you know, live how they want to live.
You're right. And I think I wouldn't have been able to go with that anyways. I mean, there's certainly so much a person can be brainwashed if they have God, obviously. But, you know, I'm 42 years old, so I've never seen anything like that. We didn't have any programs in school. We didn't have anything. But I do see people, you know, being in social media and things of that nature, and obviously media, where these kids just don't really have a chance. I mean, the parents are out of their lives, so to speak. You know, they're not having God at the level that we did at that age. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I see that as less prevalent. And I just, at this point in time, I think we're seeing it a little bit faster with the polls with Trump right now, because no one's caring about the indictments. If anything, he gets even more popular. They're starting to see what's going on. And it's a systemic warfare. It really is.
Yep.
But if you can't protect children, that's got to be the tipping point. It must.
Well, and I think that's the thing that I'm kind of drilling. And thank you for that, because I think that's the thing that I'm really drilling down on with regards to this is okay. You know, I know you're numbed. I know you're drugged. I know you're whatevered. Okay, but stop for a minute and think about: do you want your 6-year-old daughter having oral sex with her teacher?
My goodness gracious.
Is that okay with you? Are you all right with that? Are you good with that? Because if you're not good with that, then you should be standing up and going to these board meetings and putting an end to it. But if you're okay with your little girl, okay, getting it in the mouth, then move on with your life, I guess, you pervert.
You know, and that's a really great point there, because I think some parents are probably somewhat okay with that somewhere. They have to be. And then, you know, it would be nice to be able even to prosecute the mainstream media based upon the fact that, okay, so they sell us as conservatives trying to ban books in a certain way, if you know what I mean. But look what we're trying to ban. We're trying to ban, you know, we're trying to keep children protected from sexual acts, children. And, you know, anybody over the age of 18 perpetrating on a child, I mean, even 15 on a 6-year-old, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But the fact that any school boards and parents and you know, county and public officials could be okay with this, it's abhorrent.
Well, and here's the other piece to this, okay? I mean, look, if Rush was alive, I think Rush says exactly what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think Rush says it. the only guy out there that I know that's saying anything along this line is probably Tucker. He's probably the only other guy that's out there that's actually saying, look, Glenn Beck has a sodomite and a baby killer as a star on his network. Okay? Glenn Beck. Mm-hmm. David Rubin is a sodomite and a baby killer, and they celebrated, he and his sodomite friend adopting children into that environment.
That's the Rubin report, I take it?
Yep.
I don't know much about him. But.
Yep. David Rubin is an open sodomite who supports abortion.
My goodness.
And he's a star on the Blaze.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, because I know what the Rubin report is, but I don't watch him. And obviously there's a reason why.
That's a good reason why. It's why we want folks to go to the wimkin.com where they don't have that kind of garbage going on.
No, we definitely do not. We have a very, very, very strong patriotic network. And I do believe once, you know, the scales do tip, I mean, they're tipping already in terms of, you know, angst and animosity towards the government. And certainly those that want to protect children are there. You know, it's the safest network that I know of, to be honest. And of course, I can be biased, but, you know, I've lived it with these individuals, and we've seen why they came over. We started it based on, you know, Facebook shutting down Save the Children hashtags and calling us domestic terrorists because they put that Save the Children and prayer into QAnon, you know, phenomena and things of that nature. So, you know, we have lived it, but it's getting worse and worse. So there, I mean, I know a lot of people don't believe too much in voting right now, and there's good reason for that, but I'd like to see us still do it the right way and get out to these polls and make sure that nobody can mess with this election. Nobody can take this and steal this election again, because I believe that it starts with a Trump win, or at least, you know, someone like a DeSantis that's really cleaning up Florida and taking these religious aspects, or at least them trying to deny religion down there. He's taking it pretty far. So
don't surrender. Don't surrender your voice. I'm going to send you, by the way, before we get off, I want to get your cell number real quick. Cause I did an interview with Gregory Stenstrom and, Hoops, Lori, I'm blanking. Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. I'm blanking on her first name, and I apologize to her right here, right now. Hang on. I will find it really quickly. Here we go. Leah Hoops. But we sent a text on air. I sent the text to Jim Jordan and Chip Roy.
Okay.
Introducing Greg Stenstrom, because Greg and Leah have presented the criminal charges to bring to justice Christopher Wray, Bill Barr, Horowitz, and one other, regarding election fraud and their involvement in dereliction of duty or direct, the specific evidence in the Pennsylvania case.
Yeah, and us being in Pennsylvania, you know, we were tied in with Doug Mastriano pretty well with that. But I mean, that is another reason, Pastor, that you're seeing them throw everything they possibly can at Donald Trump, because I believe that he will absolutely take them into the court systems and into the justice system, or at least overwrite that justice system to where it actually can get back to some respectability.
Well, and based on what Jack Smith did, you know, David Shostokas, one of my guests, is actually representing someone in the Georgia case. But he's talked about the fact that, you know, Jack Smith has opened the Pandora's box, because what they've said is that, you know, President Trump has the right, or should have the right, in his criminal defense to be able to present all the evidence for why he believed the election was rigged, or at least there was, you know, a potential for the election to be stolen.
Oh yeah. I mean, and we lived it. I mean, I don't know if you stayed up the whole election, but, you know, I certainly, when Trump had the lead he had in Pennsylvania coming up around 10:30 PM, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go to bed, because I didn't think it was going to be that much of a runaway. I figured he'd win the state by 3 or 4 percentage points. And then you just look at these late night dumps and these dumps through the night, and you just, you got to smell something wrong there. I mean, if you don't have a red flag jump off in your head, then I don't know if you're really alive or awake.
Well, and David Shostakis was in Allegheny County. He was the Trump guy in Pittsburgh that was monitoring this, that was one of the people put in the cages, and then they were moved out of the room when they did the dump.
Yeah,
and he was one of the ones who testified at the Giuliani hearings.
And then every single judge says it's not enough.
Well, every single judge said you don't have standing. That's what people don't forget. It's they never ever tried the evidence.
That's very true.
What they said is you're an American citizen and it's your election and these people are supposed to represent you, but somehow in their warped mind, you don't have standing. But they gave standing to foreigners. So foreigners have standing to go into our courts and sue American citizens and win, but American citizens have no standing in these courts anymore. How exactly is that even? Anyway, I'm gonna boil over. All right, Jason Shepherd, hang tight. Wimkin.com, W-I-M-K-I-N, Wimkin.com. Social media. Twitter, all of that, it's all wrapped into one platform, and it's Wimkin.com. If you're looking for a place to express yourself and not have censorship, it's a great place to go. All right, we'll be back. Scott Adam is going to join me on the other side. We're going to get a live update on what's happening in Maui on Hawaii. Scott is there. He is the chair of the GOP in Maui, and we'll get truth about what's going on over there coming up right after this break. Don't go anywhere. You're watching and listening to the Chosen Generation Radio Show.
So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He is the current chair of the Maui County Republican Party. And, of course, we all know the devastating events that have taken place in Maui and just the fire and all of the horrendous things that have been going on over there. And so we're going to get into that. But he was just telling me something in the green room that I think if we've paid attention, and I welcome, by the way, I want to welcome Scott Adam to the program. Scott, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, you were telling me that, and I was like, man, wait, we gotta help. People need to understand that, because I think that any true conservative that's been paying attention, and probably more so, right, because, you know, Obama was born in Hawaii. But at any rate, but Hawaii became kind of a focal point, I think, as a result of that nationally. And then we really began to see, you know, the LGBTQ and the abortion and you know, the shutdown, the mask mandates and the vax mandates and the shutdowns and all of, you know, I mean, extreme. But you just kind of explained how that was possible. Share that with my audience, if you would, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So it appears like, well, so basically, once Hawaii went from a territory to a state, before Hawaii was a state and it was a monarchy, right? It was a kingdom, and it sort of held a lot of the same sort of principles. So right now, when a governor gets elected in the state of Hawaii, he's the most powerful governor, holds more power than any other governor in any other state, for the simple fact that he has the power to appoint all of the positions that hold a governor accountable, such as Secretary of State, such as Attorney General, such as one Board of Education for the entire state, not for counties, one sheriff for the entire state, not individuals for counties. You know, the judges, like, he appoints all of these people. These people aren't elected in our system here in Hawaii.
Wow. I mean, that is just, that's stunning. I mean,
as well as the Board of Elections.
So in essence, you know, the elections in Hawaii have already been decided. I mean, there really isn't an election, and those electoral votes, if you will, how many electoral votes is there from Hawaii?
I believe we only have one, actually. I think it is.
Okay. All right. Well, even still, but the
it's
reality
one or three, I can't remember right okay. at the moment.
Yeah. But the reality is however many it is, it's done. There's no, I mean, the people of Hawaii pretend to go to the polls, but the reality is the governor's already made the determination, and the people running the election have already pulled the lever, and it's a done deal. And the Democrats have been in power in Hawaii for how many years now?
The entire time, you know, since statehood.
Yeah. So there you go. The Democrat Party. All right. Mm-hmm. So now let's turn to, you know, this devastating fire situation. And I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, we've heard stories about fire trucks being turned back, fire trucks abandoning the scene before the fire is out, emergency crews not going in, parents not being allowed to get in to rescue their children. And then on top of that, there's concerns about how did this thing even begin? And some rumors that, you know, that this was more than meets the eye, so to speak, as to how it might have gotten started. So I don't know how you want to tick those off, but, talk to us about what you know, what you're getting, not from the media, but from your sources that are on site.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a really, really difficult past couple of weeks, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
So one thing that immediately before we even got to this fires, you know, we've had repeated events of arson on this island, where we had just 2 years ago, we actually had a strategic group of people who were actually caught and arrested and prosecuted, who were caught setting fires all around the island. And they were strategically setting fires to pull our resources in different directions. You know, we have a limited amount of resources, only about 110 firefighters on island. You know, so they were caught, and there was previous incidents like that before where there were suspicious fires. So that's why I think a lot of people have gotten to a point where, you know, there is some major suspicion around this fire. That the day of the fires, we did have high winds around the island, and there was fires, multiple fires broke out all over. I want to say there was a total of somewhere like around 38 total fires. And these are including even small fires that broke out. You know, one was right across the street from a group of homes in a park in Wailuku. There was a few near homeless encampments in Kihei, and that were purposefully started, that were witnessed.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that happened that day that were incredibly suspicious. But it did start early in the morning, and they fought it in the morning. It was declared contained. The fire department was pulled off of that fire. And then once again, it started to spark right back up. And, the attention it was given was definitely not adequate. If it was completely neglected in some opinions.
Now, so when the question arises about, okay, was this, you know, like there's talk of, I don't know, some kind of energy weapon, you know, or, you know, that this was, you know, some form of an attack that took place. Do you subscribe that there's a possibility that could have had something to do with it, or is it all arson? Because you're bringing to light that there was a lot of arson and things of that nature happening there from the onset. And then I'd like to give me your opinion as to why targeted arson in that particular area.
Well, I mean, definitely I'm not ruling out direct, you know, the DEW is not ruling that out. I'm hesitant to say that, okay. Just for the simple fact, I have sat down with, a few good friends from Space Force, who specialize in that type of,
technology,
you know, technology, and you know, they don't believe that was the case. And these are some people I truly trust. They don't believe that was the case. However, you know, as I said, there was a lot of suspicion around it. There is video of power lines going down. You know, it's hard to say, and I don't really like to speculate too much without having sauce behind it. But I'm definitely not ruling it out. you know, and so, I'm sorry, what was the second part?
Well, then, and so the add on to that is, as you mentioned, there was a lot of arson that people knew was happening in that area.
Yeah.
And so the question then that begs to be answered is why is that particular, was, you know, because I know now we've got development. People are talking about BlackRock and different entities coming in and buying up land, or maybe they already owned it, or they were buying up the debt on the land so that they would basically own the mortgages or own the notes on there so that they could come in now and basically undercut. And there's something about $700, people being offered $700 for your property and get out. I mean, what's the truth? Where, how much of that is factual, and how much of that is, you know, manufactured hysteria, if you will?
Well, you know, Lahaina is the most historic town in the entire state. We have the largest amount of native and you know, historical owners of the same property passed down through lineages, as well as documents from the Hawaiian Nation previous to when it became part of the United States, as well as artifacts. And so all of that was there, and there was a lot of, you know, that is such a desired area.
Okay.
And with the amount of private owners that refused to sell for such a long time, even with, you know, forceful offers being made, I talked to multiple different business owners who own property right up on Front Street in Lahaina, and, they actually, started receiving increasing amount of calls during the beginning of 2020, 2021, during the whole lockdown, COVID scam. During that time, the calls continued to keep coming in. They continued to keep, you know, offering large amounts of money for their property. And then all of a sudden around April, May this year, a lot of the calls stopped kind of coming in. It's quieted down. The day after the fires, people started receiving phone calls. You ready to sell now? You ready to sell now? And so, you know, I don't know if this is opportunist, but I do know that we also had a conference on this island in January that the governor was a part of, as well as the mayor, that was moving towards these 15-minute, you know, AI-driven smart cities, and turning Hawaii government and in Maui in particular.
All right, hold on. Because, you know, again, and actually, I believe it was CNN in the last over the weekend. You know, commentators came on and said, oh, there's no truth to this 15-minute city thing. That's just a right-wing conspiracy theory. So you're saying that there was a meeting held in January of this year, and that the governor of Hawaii was at that meeting, and they discussed turning Hawaii and Lahaina, or help me say that right, please.
Lahaina.
Yeah. Lahaina and that area into one of the first 15-minute cities, and then Hawaii becoming kind of an incubator for this technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that happened. And actually, there's documentation of this on websites. The actual advertisement of that conference, and then there was another conference scheduled actually for September 25th here on Maui, which has now been moved to Oahu. But yeah, that there's documentation out there. It's on websites. It's been advertised, and our governor Josh Green is one of the lead speakers of that conference coming up on the 25th.
Okay, all right, and so the idea then. You know, again, so now, I mean, I was a private investigator. I'm looking at this from an investigative perspective. You have a lead up of fires being started. You have individuals that are putting pressure on businesses and residences to say, hey, sell, sell, let me buy, sell, 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 sell. And then finally the follow-up is this catastrophic fire. Do they have any idea how this really started? I apologize if I'm a little behind, but maybe it's good for me to have some naivete regarding it, so that way we can get facts out here. How do they believe this fire began?
Well, the common thought or the common story is that it began from electrical poles that came down, and there is video of lines that went down early in the morning that did start fires. And you know, if that is the truth, I don't not believe it. Okay. For the simple fact that you know, for a very long time, like I was saying, the just absolute neglect of this government and okay. and the lack of response to upgrading any sort of infrastructure has been, you know, it's just been criminal and negligent, you know, for,
but would that not be the case? Yeah. But if your goal was to clear this area out and rebuild it in the shape of the first, and you know, I also have to, I just want to get this in there. I apologize, guys. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah. You mentioned the historic significance of this. You mm-hmm. We've talked about the historic significance of Hawaii relative to the kind of government that it has. Where's the government seat now?
Well, I mean,
the capital.
Oh, the capital's in Oahu.
Okay. Yeah. So, but historically, Lahaina is where the heart of Hawaii is.
In my opinion, in many local opinion, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going to finally, for once and for all, end that, cut that off, destroy that, both in a physical and a spiritual sense, you would need to wipe that territory clean.
I believe that would be the dagger in the heart, for
right?
Sure.
Because now you're putting the final, yeah, like you said, the final dagger. You're killing the Hawaiian spirit is what you're essentially trying to do. And we know that Marxists and the Democratic Party, that's what they are doing in America with you know, with our faith, with our Christian belief system. And I would assume that's the same thing they would want to do with the Hawaiian people.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I feel that that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, even the Governor Josh Green, he even said that in a press conference recently. We'll build back with our beliefs and our values and the new vision of, you know, and, you know, he's even spoken of the state taking the land of Lahaina. And so, you know, there's definitely a lot of verbiage coming out from the current government officials that, you know, that we're never going to restore. We're going to recreate in our own vision of what we want.
And I also think, and you know, maybe I'm going too deep into this, but I also think, you know, you killed the children. So you wiped out the seed, you wiped out the heritage. I mean, these are the children that are hereditarily the children of that legacy, and you have just killed a number. I don't know what the number is. It's horrific.
Yeah, it's horrific.
But you have just wiped out an entire generation. And so now you've not only have you destroyed the land, but you've literally destroyed the life and the spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the amount of children and the foundation of the future that would have continued to grow this island and to maintain its history, its legacy. It's all gone. It's all gone. Yeah, and you know, that day the school, as you probably know, school was canceled. Kids were sent home. Parents, you know, last minute have to continue to keep working. It's difficult to live on this island as it is. The housing crisis, jobs, you know, it's expensive, most expensive place to be, and yet you know, parents have to work. They have to do their thing, and unfortunately, so many kids were home by themselves. And I mean, there's just so many things. That's why I was saying, like, when we keep looking at all of the little things that add up to this, you know, I don't really believe in coincidences. And, you know, every single thing that piles up on top of each other, there's no way all of that could just be a coincidence. This mass level of failure, the police cordoning off each end of Front Street and not letting cars out, you know, and people being stuck in and not being able to get out, people being redirected on the highway into the fire, you know, and never using the emergency sirens. I mean, there's just so many levels of failure that this just can't be coincidence. There's something
evil.
There's something just...
It's evil.
Absolutely pure evil. I mean,
Scott, let's just call it what it is. This is,
yeah,
there, this is evil. And I think for those of us on this mainland that are looking at what happened here, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, you guys are really, you know, I mean, okay, January 6th, and they put a few hundred people in prison, and, you know, and this and that. But, you know, they're not going to wipe out a million of us. There's 360 million of us. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, they just murdered an entire city. They just murdered an entire city. They burned the city and the children in it to the ground.
Absolutely.
And now you better wake up and ask yourself, how far do you think they'll go? I hate saying it, Scott. I hate saying it, but I said it last week. We're at war. We are at war. They have declared war on us. They've declared war. They put a bounty on us, on people like you and me that have God-fearing biblical Christian values. They put a bounty on us. I know. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to mark you here on my program. I apologize. I'm not trying to put you at, you know, but I mean, me too. We need to face reality, and I think what we're trying to do is get people to wake up. I don't want to start a civil war. That's not my goal. But we better be ready and recognize that they have declared war on us, and if we think they won't go to the extreme of incinerating or whatever their evil plan is, all we need to do is look at what just happened.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I've been feeling that way for quite a while. I mean, 2020 was the first sign. I mean, not the first sign, but like just the absolute most obvious sign, I think, that the war really is against the people, is against, you know, those who have faith, those who are connected with the understanding of how this world works. There's been so many things put into place to remove us from our natural understanding of our connection with God and how to live naturally too, you know, taking away our natural foods, our natural medicines, removing us from the even understanding that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and and the understanding of the directions of north, south, east, west, you know, the understanding of how natural life occurred. for hundreds and thousands of years before this technological takeover, this new computer age of existence that's right. moving us into this virtual reality kind of concept. And you know, the agenda really is out there to move us away from that relationship with the Lord.
No, I agree. You know, it's one of the reasons, and I'll encourage folks to go to our Rumble page, which is Chosen Generation Radio Show. Just week before last, Ken Thornburg and I actually did a spiritual warfare prayer where we gave instruction on how to ask the angelic host to battle territorial spirits. And then we also led people in a prayer regarding a canopy of protection over yourself and over your home. And I would really encourage you folks to go and watch that and receive that prayer. Receive what we shared, because we are wrestling not just against flesh and blood, but not against just flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. There's no other way to look at this but to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle, and spiritual battles always manifest themselves in physical fleshly form. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we need to be praying for the people in Maui. We need to be praying for the people of Lahaina who have experienced a loss that is just absolutely devastating. And we do, Father, we lift them up to you right now. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'd send your Holy Spirit to comfort them. Oh, Father God, they need that peace that passes all understanding. We supplicate before you. Father, we supplicate before you and ask you. We come boldly before your throne and ask for that peace. We ask, Father God, that the believers that are there will experience that peace and then have the opportunity to be able to share that peace with those that don't yet know you. We know, Father God, that you work all things together for good. And even in the midst of all of this, Lord, you are wanting to bring good out of it. So, God, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your direction. We ask, Father God, for you to guide us and to lead us, Lord God. And we reapply, Father God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girding our loins with truth, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel, taking up our shield of faith and our sword of the Spirit, Father God. And we take a stand right now. And I ask you to be with Scott and his family. I ask you to protect them. Put a canopy of protection around him. Put a canopy of protection around those people of the faith of Jesus Christ that are there right now on the front lines. Give them every necessary tool and weapon, both physically and spiritually, that they need in order to advance the kingdom of heaven. And Father God, we declare victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother.
God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Greg.
Hang tight for just a second. I've got to cut our broadcast because I know that Texas Fully Loaded is saying, "Hey, it's our turn." So let me do that, and then just hang on for just a second, if you would be so kind, Scott. Folks, I'll be back with you tomorrow. Keep praying for the people in Hawaii. Keep praying for our nation. And remember, at the end of the day, you've been given tools, you've been given talents, and God has called you for such a time as this. Be engaged, be active, be a warrior for Christ. God bless you all. See you tomorrow.